Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. And good morning to those online watching now or later. I know that there are times where I watch online either during service or after. And a lot of times it shows that someone else is watching too. So I'm glad that we have that. It lets us stay connected to other folks. And on days like today that I preach, my mom posts it and all her friends watch on Facebook. So it's a great resource for us to have. My name is Scott, and I get to help with the teaching here at the house, which I very much enjoy. I have a hard time staying warm, so I stay pretty bundled up. And today I actually have an excuse to be bundled up and to whine about it being cold. Sometimes I come and it's 72 degrees and I'm still bundled up and whining. But today I have a better excuse. I do take sips of water pretty often because my mouth gets dry. So just a heads up on that as well. I'll take my first sip. I always forget to take the lid off before I come up. The question, what's something that irritates you? I'd love to hear a couple answers. Something that irritates you.
Bad drivers. A fiancé.
Oh, yes. Sometimes our loved ones can bug us a little. Any others? Things that irritate you.
Hair in the hairbrush.
I have my own drawer for my own brush because I don't like hair in the hairbrush. And I know as soon as I pull out of the drawer if someone couldn't find their brush and went for mine. And it's like, it's irritating because it's one of those things, okay, my spouse used my brush, no big deal. But that's not what's going through my head. Someone else's hair is in my brush. I need one more. That one was fun. How about one more?
Roommates
definitely. JC? Talking on the phone in a movie or talking in the theater. Yeah, definitely. Have you ever done the yell, like, stay off your cell phone? I've been in the theater where someone's on their phone and, you know, it's dark in there so nobody can see. So somebody will just yell, hey, stay off your cell phone, and all of a sudden it turns off real quick. And then I heard loud chewing. Chewing can definitely be one. Things, we weren't super strict at my house, but, you know, there were some expectations for dinner, so when people don't have those, it can be a little challenging. And, yeah, I'll take that as the last one, messy eaters. And we have a two-year-old. You say, Scott, you can't judge a two-year-old for being a messy eater. Yes, I can. When that food is all over, it's on my shoes, it's on my chair, it's on my sweatshirt, it's on the floor, it is everywhere. So yes, messy eaters, that's a thing for sure. One thing that I can find irritating is when someone is trying to manipulate me. I really don't like that, especially with false flattery. I would have thought door-to-door sales would have been out in 2024, but believe me, they're alive and well. Someone came to my door trying to sell a security system the other day, and for some reason I thought, I need to be nice, I need to listen to the pitch. So I listened to the pitch, and it was a really good pitch. Even though I already had a security system installed in the last year, he wasn't done. He was trying to switch that one out for another one. And he was trying to say he could integrate his into this one, even though it was a different company. And I knew that probably wasn't true, but he was making a good case for it. And so he said, next time I come to your neighbor's house, since I'm putting one in for them, can I stop by and talk to you a little more? And partially get rid of them, partially out of respect that he had given a good pitch. I said, sure. Oops. Knock, knock, knock. And each time he would knock and I would answer, he would say, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to bother you, but... And I'm thinking in my mind, if you don't want to bother me, there's a very simple solution to this. Don't come to my door anymore. But he was good at what he did, but I did feel like he was trying to, he was working the angle of your neighbors are getting this system and, you know, all the different angles on it. So that definitely could be there. Sometimes someone could invite you to something and there could be a little manipulation behind it. You know, like, hey, I'm having a party and I don't really care if you come or not. It doesn't matter. All of my really good friends are going to be there. And I think we're pretty good friends, so I'm sure you'll come. But if you can't make it, that's fine. But Jenny and David and Phil are going to be there. They can all make it. So sometimes people, they like to mess with us a little bit. And now we're going to switch for a minute. We're going to switch to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you want to go there, you can. You don't have to. I'm going to do a summary, as I'm known to do. And as I always say, when I do a summary, please feel free to ask later, how did you come up with that? Or why did you interpret it that way? That will never offend me. I respect that and appreciate that. I do my very best to study and make sure that when I'm using scripture, especially when I'm summarizing it, that I do so faithfully. But I make mistakes, and I'm always, usually a lot of times, if somebody's upset by something, it's because they didn't understand where you were coming from. And so I always would prefer to be able to address it that way. Now, Paul starts by talking about a group of people called the Macedonians. He's talking about their neighbors. He's writing to a church in Corinth that he knows really well. And he starts it off this way. You won't believe how much the Macedonians are giving to the other churches. It's amazing. They're giving so much. And you guys gave a lot last time too. And you guys are really good at, like, everything else. You help people. You're kind to each other. So I'm sure you're going to give for the offering this year for those who need it at other churches. And if I were sitting there and I were listening to the letter by Paul, I would be a little frustrated. Because it sounds like there's some false flattery in there. And it sounds like there's a little bit of manipulation in there and a little bit of pressure in there. Let's go ahead and look at, I am going to read a little bit from it, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Make it a little bigger. In chapter 8. Verse 1 in 2 Corinthians, he says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So he's saying, look, they gave a lot. They exceeded our expectations. And then he says down in verse 7, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And then he goes on in verse 8 to say, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity. I'm not telling you you have to. But if you don't, I've already told people how generous you are, and it'll make me look really bad. And if you don't, it'll make you look bad too. But you don't have to. No pressure. No pressure. And I wonder how they felt about that. They had a history of Paul had a history of writing them some pretty tough letters sometimes. He could be a little aggressive. And so he's writing this to them. And up to this point in the letter, I can imagine that some of them may have felt frustrated. Some of them may have felt pressured. Some of them may have thought, we've given before. Why wasn't that enough? Why is Paul asking this of us? And I think a lot of us have had experiences where we have felt pressured, or especially in the church setting or in a faith setting, felt shame maybe when it came to giving. And the sermon, as you can see, the series up there is fully. And what we're going to talk about is joyfully giving. Going from a place of shame or a place of pressure to a place of being able to give joyfully. A lot of us have been in situations or seen situations where giving in the church was abused. I was in a church where it was my first time there, beautiful church, nice suburb of Chicago. And the car, the parking lot was full of brands of cars I didn't know existed. There were Infinities, there was Lexus, Acura, all kinds of vehicles that I didn't even know about yet. And they were beautiful, and we walked in, and there were columns, and there were books sitting out in and bookshelves. And we got in, and the person who was doing the offering said, "Everybody hold up your wallet." And so we were expected to stand up, take out our wallet, and hold it up. And he said, if you still have room in your wallet for more money, then God wants to fill it. If your groceries aren't overflowing with food, then you're not receiving God's full blessing. And what was the key to receiving God's full blessing? Give that money. Hey, and what does that shirt say today? It's only money. As soon as I saw that today, I was like, okay. You know, so yeah, exactly. You know, so they're saying there at the church, it's only money. So give some to us. I've seen it before on TV so many times. And sometimes I stop and watch. Just at the audacity, for one thing, when someone is saying, hey, send me this, one of my favorite sayings, and it says a joke, is the check is in the mail. And if you ever watch those, you've heard that phrase, you know, if you send something in today, the check is already in the mail. God's blessings are coming back to you tenfold. You know, and then they have the people on there. You say, you know, I sent $500 to such and such ministry, even though I didn't have money for rent, and someone gave me $2,000 because of blah, 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 blah. Another pitch that we've seen before is I got this letter in the mail, and it was specifically addressed to me as if this person really knew me. And it made me do a double take, even though I see him. Scott, I haven't talked to you in a long time. I know you're a generous person, and I really need to ask for your help. And it went on to describe this orphanage in Chicago that was going to close down in the next 2 weeks if they didn't receive a certain sum of money. And then I tried to figure out, how did they get my information? I have no idea. I wasn't connected with them in any way, anything like that. We've probably maybe been in that situation too, where we were pressured or shamed, being told, if you don't give, this bad thing is going to happen. We've been in those situations, manipulation, guilt, shame. It's not good. But if we go back and look a little further into what Paul has to say, the Apostle Paul, he goes down further and he says, if the willingness, and this is chapter, I think it's 9:12. No, I think it's 8:12. I can look it up for you later. I put the verse number, not the chapter number here. It says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. When it comes to giving joyfully, it's not based on what we do or do not have. Joyful giving is not giving a certain amount or a certain percentage. Joyful giving is giving from what God has already blessed us with. He goes on to say, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's where I like the word joyful, joyfully giving. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, I hesitated to put that last verse in, because it's been misused and abused so many times that it's almost scary for someone in my situation to talk about God's blessing, because it can be turned and used so easily and so quickly for manipulation. But I think it helps if we think about who we're listening to here. The Apostle Paul. He did not walk around with money bags. He was beaten, he was jailed, he was shipwrecked. He listed off all of those things. And in fact, he made it a point wherever he went that he didn't take a salary from the church or money from the church that he was working at, because he preferred to work with his hands and provide his own. So the idea that Paul was thinking that if you give, God's going to fill up your cupboards and fill up your wallet, we know is not what he meant. What he meant is that God would fill up their hearts, and God would be able to use that gift to bless others. Joyfully giving. I think of Jesus in Mark and in Luke. He tells a story about a widow. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple. So the money was in a place where you could watch people going up to put it in, and you could see what they were giving. And so Jesus was sitting watching what people were giving. And so I'm assuming other people were doing that too. Many rich people threw in large amounts. I imagine somebody saying, hey, can somebody help me back here? I've got a bag of money I'm going to put in the offering, and it's huge. I can't pull it up by myself. It's really hurting my back because I brought so much money. I imagine someone else maybe exchanging their $5 coins to nickel coins so that they'd have a bigger bag to put in. When you put it in there, it drops and it sounds heavy. Calling us to say, okay, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. And when Paul preaches to the Corinthians, when he's writing to them, he's writing to them about, I don't want you to not have what you need. I want there to be equity. I want us to be able to share our blessings with those in need. Paul wanted for the Corinthians, whatever it was that they were able to give, to be able to participate in what God was doing, because he knew that would be a blessing to them. He wasn't looking for a certain amount, but he didn't want them to miss out on being a part of what God was doing. Now, I want to transition here and share, since we are here at the house, and I am preaching about giving joyfully at the house, why I choose to give joyfully to the house. I choose to give joyfully because I appreciate and am excited about the things that happen here. And sometimes when we think about giving, we feel like we imagine these big goals of things that need contributed to. And I think about how giving from a joyful heart provides somebody with a cup of coffee for us to serve in the lobby. Name tags to know who each other are. Markers for kids to draw with. Those little things that aren't about being able to give a large gift, but being able to give joyfully in what God is doing here at the house. Now, I also want to mention something else, and this worked out in my favor. I'm so sorry that Pastor Greg isn't feeling well, Cindy. But I'm sure he's watching. We love you, Pastor Greg. But I texted him earlier this week, and I said, I think I need to talk to you about you a little bit, and I know you won't like that. But here's why. And so he agreed. The reality is that when we talk about a church and our situation where we have a pastor, a large part of the budget does go to the pastor. And so it raises the question of who is our lead pastor that is at the church that we give to when we give to the house, when I choose to give to the house. First of all, I believe that he is a man of character, and that matters to me. His wife and his children, from what I have seen in his home and in the community, love him very much. That is not true of every pastor's family. I grew up amidst my grandpa's a pastor, my uncles are pastors. I grew up in a lot of that. We grew up enjoying church. That wasn't true for all of them. Not all of them were there on Sunday morning singing and enjoying, especially if their dad was leading worship. And I think that speaks a lot. I also wanted to mention some of the things that I know that by giving joyfully, my pastor is able to do. And some of the things that we might not think of immediately, creating the graphics, not only singing songs, but writing songs, the books that we use for our community tables, those materials are written by Pastor Greg, a lot of things. There's a book out there that you can ask for that explains the different things that we do. He goes to buy cups of coffee with folks, and that's paid for by the giving of the church. And so I think about how many cups of coffee people have gotten to have in the community through Pastor Greg and through Pastor Jen. Can you wave at us, Pastor Jen? You might not know this, but it's Pastor Appreciation Weekend. And so I'd love to just take a second, since she is here, to say thank you to Pastor Jen for all of the things that you do. The singing, the loving, the preaching, the hugs, opening your home, meeting people in the community. And so these are some of the ways that helped me to give joyfully. at the house. I will, yeah, I think I'm closing. I'll close with this. There are people that I've met here at the house that I wouldn't meet at any other church I've been a part of. And there are people that I've gotten to talk to and hear their perspective that I wouldn't hear at any other church that I've been a part of. And there are parts of my story that I've been able to share that I haven't been able to felt comfortable sharing at any other church that I've been a part of. A lot of those churches just, they had a pretty narrow set of a checklist of what you needed to believe, and especially if you were a leader in that church. And a lot of times, I didn't fit that checklist very well. And so I appreciate that I'm able to be a part of a community where that happens. And so what if you're new? First of all, I'm sorry that you're hearing. I invited a friend for the first time to hear a giving message. Sorry, Amanda. It wasn't on purpose. It was just opportune. But for those of us that get to be a part, or wherever you're a part of, whether you be online or whether you're visiting from somewhere else, I want to invite you to pray about being in a place where you can give joyfully, where you can participate in what God is doing here in a tangible way. And I hope that Paul and Jesus and I, clearly ranking third in that list, have made it clear that God is not looking for amounts. He's not looking for percentages. Those can be good goals. It can be part of the church tradition, but that is not what we are measured by. There is not shame for what we're not able to bring. There is joy and celebration in the kingdom for what we are able to. And if you've been hurt in the past by a leader who was dishonest or is manipulative, I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that you experienced that. And if your experience has been hearing about those things from others and that's made you uncomfortable, I'm sorry for that. And we work really hard here at the church to make it as low pressure of an environment as possible. We reference that you can bring something up after service or before service if you'd like to. We try to make it as low pressure as possible so that people don't have to have that feeling of being pressured or having that be put on you. But every once in a while, I think we do need to be reminded that giving is a part of our tradition. It is part of Scripture. And it is part of what makes our church able to do what it does. Let's pray. Pastor Jen, if you'd come up. Father, we thank you for inviting us to be a part of what you're doing. A special place like this can't exist outside of you. I don't think people can be brought together in this way. I don't think healing can happen. I don't think love can be shown without your Spirit and your love leading and guiding us. And I pray that you would help us to set aside some of the guilt trips we've heard. And I pray that no one would feel that in their heart today. I pray that you'd protect anyone from hearing anything other than grace and love and invitation. I pray that you would help us to continue to show love and do that increasingly, because we know that there are others in our community who need to be a chance to be a part of someplace special. In Jesus' name, amen.